Good day from Sydney, Australia. What are common wishes for people in Hong Kong and us here in Sydney, Australia? We'd like to take a bit of a moment to share with someone next to you. I'll just give you a moment. Pastor Jeffrey said that it will be well, peace, and prosperity. And for me, a common wish is for us here and people in Hong Kong, I think it will be the ease of traveling. And I enjoy traveling like many Hong Kong people. If you see the background, this is a photo that I took when I went to Bosnia and Croatia for holidays. Wait, what about your answers? I'm sure there are many, right? Oh, sorry. My name is Pastor Dorothy, and I'm a friend of Pastor Jeffrey. We are able to share a lot of common wishes because you and I have a common experience, whether it's the Hong Kong airport or the Sydney Harbour Bridge. We probably haven't seen it as empty as we see it from this photo. There are a lot of commonalities. There are lockdowns, lots of impact that we can feel in our community. And the experience of misfortunes actually make us more humble than before. Even young people would know that we can't take things for granted. Just, you know, going out for a meal with the family, with the extended family, or meeting up, seeing friends. Even if we're able to do it now, it doesn't mean that we're able to do it tomorrow. We can't take anything for granted. And this experience of loss, uncertainty, desolation, make us a bit closer when we read the book of Joel, because we can relate what God's people experiencing in the book. Verse 9, it talks about a crisis that is so huge for God's people to comprehend. They rush up on the city. They come into houses. These are modern day photos I can find for locusts. God's people suffering from the invasion of locusts. And they are everywhere. They can fly. They can walk. They can even climb on the wall. So just like COVID, they're everywhere. Whether you are at home, whether you are in a community, they're right in your faces and no one can escape. And just like COVID, it doesn't matter where we would go, we will suffer and we're not able to cope. And before a restoration would come, it's very interesting. The prophet Joel asked God's people to mourn, because there's no joy. Mourning, to lament for the loss and the situation, desperate situation that God's people is in. I'm sure that if they are joyful, they're at peace with the situation they're in, there's no way that they were able to lament and to mourn. But now, everyone, whether it's an elder, someone who's being respected, or children, every one of them would mourn because the desolation and the loss they were in. And even for priests, those people who serve in God in the temple, they are called to mourn and to lament, because there's sadness and sorrows in everyone in the community, even the religious leader. Now let's just make a stop of the Bible passage and think about the situation that we have experienced in Hong Kong in these past few years. There is a picture of loss and desolation. I think you can think of that for sure. And also because of uncertainty and changes in recent year, our friends, our relatives are thinking of leaving Hong Kong. Sure, it's very challenging for them. It's not easy for them. But it also hurt us as well. It's depressing for them to leave. Pastor Jeffrey shared that the size of your congregation has dropped below half of what it used to be. And those of us who left behind need to pick up the pieces, need to fill the gap and keep things going. What can we do? It seems that people are sort of leaving. For them, it's like leaving the sinking ship. But God hasn't called us to leave yet. And we feel at loss when we see people leave. And I'm sure pastors in Hong Kong, leaders in Hong Kong mourn for the loss as well. Now that's before the restoration come. Let's look at after restoration. In the midst of suffering and loss, the prophet is asking God's people to rejoice and be glad because a restoration is going to come and it will be joyful. It asks the land of Judah. Now the land of Judah is being personified. And along with the people of Zion, that's another name for God's people. God's people are called to rejoice because a restoration is going to come. How amazing is that possible? Now, this is a comparison on God's people's emotional life. Let's do another comparison on a different perspective. We look at how God's people's working life, physical life before the restoration. Grains, oil, wine were their daily staple. That's what they eat. That's their daily food. But they were not available. And Fima, wine goner, and shepherd, they would be in trouble. Their job would be in trouble because the tree would dry up and there's no grass. So not only they don't have enough, they didn't have enough to eat, but their job, their working life were at risk as well. Working and physical life had collapsed in their community. How desperate the situation was. And in the midst of the desolation or the crisis, a restoration is called for. And we can see from these two verses that the prophet will say, grains, wine, oil will return. And animals, grass, tree will become producing and growing. And people who live in an agricultural society will be able to work again. Well, how amazing. But how is it possible? So we look at during a crisis, how God's people suffer in their emotional life, working life, and physical life. But that actually has an impact on their spiritual life as well. Let's look at Joel chapter 1. Grain offering, drink offering was cut off because there was no food. So people were not able to offer sacrifice as they do. Offering sacrifice would be a way, would be the familiar way for them to worship God. But now well, this familiar way, it's not available. There's nothing to, there was nothing to offer to God. And the priests would not be able to offer temple sacrifice because no one will bring any. So the priests were not able to serve God. And there's no ministry for them. And there's no food for them because there's no sacrifice. And God's power and God's name and even the faith of God's people were in jeopardy because they were being laughed at, challenged by other people. And they would ask, where's your God? Wouldn't your God, who's so able and mighty, would be able to provide for you? He will be able to save you all? Well, it's pretty tough indeed. Now let's look at our situation during this few years. It's not only our working life, physical life, emotional life have been impacted. Our spiritual life have also been impacted as well. We are not able to worship with fellow believers. Our usual way to worship God, to have Bible study, to have fellowship with one another, were not available. And also, a lot of time, we're not able to have in-depth fellowship or friendship with our friends or even fellow believer because we hold opposing political will. It seems politics have the upper hand. Even people with faith, we're not able to cope with the differences. So we can relate to how these people feel and what they've gone through in the book of Joel. Now, a restoration is to come. And let's look at the turnaround of their spiritual life. They will be full surprise. So they will be able to worship God using sacrifice and offering as before. And now they would be able to praise God because God is going to provide for them. So there is a restoration of spiritual life for God's people. How amazing. And the prophet say, all this restoration, it's possible because there is a path. No, that's not right. Because there is the path. It's not any path, but the only path. The only path for restoration is being shared in chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 16. Let me read it to you. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chambers. Here, the prophet asks God's people to see God earnestly, to confess to him as a community. That is the most important thing for this faith community. It doesn't matter whether it's someone so weak, who's just a baby, who's having breastfeeding from the mother, or bridegroom. In the Old Testament, you know, they would be ascended to go to war. But no, nothing is more important to a new married couple than come as a community to see God and to confess to him. And that is the path for restoration. So the restoration, it's not depend on the best effort, the number of people, or the best policy. The restoration, the way for restoration is it depends on the community seeking God and confess to God. It's because the restoration is possible because of God. The Bible verse is actually from verse 13 only. Let me read it to you. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abundant in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Doesn't that the second part of verse 13 sounds familiar? He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and an abundance in love. That's actually a quote from Exodus chapter 34. After God's people worshiped the golden calf, after they've waited for Moses impatiently, God forgave them. And he gave them two new stone tablets. And this faithfulness and the mercy of God is proclaimed. God intend to punish them, and yet because of his grace and mercy, he forgave them. This reminded us, sure, God would like us to return to him, to confess to him, but it doesn't mean that we would use that as a tactic to twist God's arm. God will forgive us and restore us because of his mercy and grace, not because what we have done. He would, in his gracious mercy, he will restore us and forgive us. And the purpose of the restoration is so that we would know there's no other God, and for God's people to know that God seems to be missing from the land of Israel, but no, God is still in charge. He's still in control, and he's the only God they would worship. And if that's the case, maybe we can look at crisis differently, because Christ facing loss, facing crisis, it's not so frightening. God is there to restore us because of his mercy. So while we might feel desperate and sad and sorrow when we face crisis, but God is there. God's there with us, and it's his good and pleasing will to restore us. Let me share a story with you. The dad of my, the father of my Caucasian friend was in hospital 2 weeks ago, and he had a major spinal operation. And in the same hospital room, a Chinese elderly man asked the father of my Caucasian friend about heaven, because this Chinese man was given only 2 months to live. And the father of my friend explained a little bit to him, but due to language barrier, he would not be able to elaborate more. So he told this Chinese man, just wait until his son come. My friend, the Caucasian guy, it's pretty passionate about the gospel, and he had been effective in ministry. But in recent months, he encountered a lot of issue, emotional issue, physical issue, spiritual issue. But there's a very important point. his Chinese, it's pretty good. His Chinese is even better than mine. 我那个老外的朋友，他说的中文很标准。If you don't understand what I just say, you may ask a friend or ask Pastor Jeffrey. So when my friend come and visit his dad in the hospital, he talked with this Chinese man for a long time. And after 1.5 hours, yes, you may envy us here. When we visit someone in the hospital here, we have a long, very visiting hour. So my friend chat with the Chinese man. The Chinese man decided to follow Jesus. Whoa, amazing. And I learned about it because my friend asked me what's the best way to follow up this man as well as his family. And for me, I just was amazed what God has done. For my Caucasian friend, he would not pray for a restoration of being effective in ministry. But in God's mercy, God just gave him that. And that Chinese man become a Jesus follower. And my friend was restored for ministry. Sure, he still had to face all this issue. But when God brings a restoration, it doesn't depend on us, our ability. It doesn't depend on all those issues being resolved. So for my friend, he would know that it was God who bring a restoration for his ministry. Now, we just look back at some of the points that we've covered today. For God's people, there is restoration of physical life, emotional life, and spiritual life. The restoration is going to come. And the only path for restoration is to return to God. And restoration is possible because God's mercy and grace. And so that God's people would know that there is no other God. Remember, at the beginning, I asked you, what is the common wishes for peoples in Hong Kong and us in Australia? I'm sure that we would like to look for a restoration of our city, a restoration of our church. We would love to see that Hong Kong will be an international hub for business, for trade, for tourism. Again, and we would love to see that our church will be a vibrant, transforming, growing, and forgiving communities. Again, that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see for your city as well as our city and our church, right? But what it seems that there are more crises. We learn about more crises. I can feel that there's a rising price of food and petrol due to the war in Ukraine. COVID is still around, and yet there's monkeypox, there's other issues. It seems that crises are never ending. This crisis actually reminds us of the time that we live in. We're living in end time. And as there are more unrest, more crisis, you remind us that the second coming of Jesus is at near. So however unhappy, frustrated when we see all these crises, it should remind us that Jesus will come pretty soon. And while we waiting for Jesus' return. We know that there is a common hope. There's a common wish that you and I are waiting for as we're living in the end time. And that is the restoration of Jerusalem. Or we say in other words that there is a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to bring about a restoration of heaven and earth. And that's something that we can hope for. So the unrest, the crisis, the facing, it's actually urging us to consider this glorious hope, glorious wish that we all share. And in the meantime, while we're waiting for the Jesus' second coming, we can learn from God's people in the book of Joel by coming to God, seeking Him earnestly, and confess to Him. So before I finish, I invite you to say this prayer together as a faith community, as a congregation, that we come before our God. Let's say this prayer together. Dear Lord, we have to confess that very often we're not able to make sense of many troubles, changes, need in Hong Kong and in our churches. God, we come to you to express our sadness, our disappointment, our anger, and to confess our sins and disbeliefs. Please help us to trust in your promise and your grace. Help us to trust your hand in leading Hong Kong. Please help us to experience a restoration according to your good, pleasing, and perfect will, so that we'll know that you are in Hong Kong and that you are the Lord of our God and that there is no other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.